VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. It's a news roundup day here today, and we've got many, 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 many stories, more than what I'm going to fit in today. Sandy's got all prepared for us, and we're going to seek to inform you on many, many issues going on. But folks, when I see some of these issues, I say put on your seatbelts because things are going to hit fast and furious across this nation. We'll get to that here in just a moment, but recognize this, folks. God has yet to make his first mistake. He is in control. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And even as you hear these stories, I mean, the Apostle Paul wrote, in the last days, perilous times would come. Talked about the issues. You'll read them in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first several verses there. But he also encouraged us as we go to the next chapter to preach the word. And certainly that's what we need to do in such a time as this, to proclaim the gospel, because it is only the gospel, faith in Jesus Christ, that will truly change man's hearts. We're going to begin with the Epoch Times here today with a story that late yesterday, Joe Biden announced a $1.9 trillion stimulus plan to address the ongoing CCP virus pandemic in the United States, saying we have no time to waste when it comes to getting this virus under control and building our economy back better, he announced in a statement. The American Rescue Plan includes another $1,400 stimulus payment check that should be added to the $600 check that Americans are receiving, and I guess illegals as well. The legislative proposal also provides about $440 billion for struggling communities, small businesses, educators, public transport workers, first responders. Biden is also calling to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour. How is that going to help? How is that going to help in such a time when businesses are closing? The Congressional Budget Office has estimated a $15 federal minimum wage would lead to the loss of 1.3 million jobs. And they're looking at putting this in this majority passed stimulus package. Legislative proposal also extends moratoriums on foreclosures and evictions until September 30th, includes $25 billion in funding for rental, $5 billion for utility assistance. Some of these aspects are talking about putting in a reconciliation bill that only needs 51 votes. Some votes are going to require 60 votes unless they get rid of the filibuster, which some have pledged to do as well. Leah Barkokas of the townhall.com writes in detailing his plan for a multi-trillion-dollar relief package to address the COVID-19 pandemic and keep the economy afloat. Joe Biden said he would prioritize everyone except for white male-owned businesses. He said our priority will be on black, Latino, Asian, and Native American-owned small businesses and women-owned businesses, finally having equal access to the resources needed to reopen and rebuild. He said we will make a concerted effort to help small businesses in low-income communities and big cities and small towns, rural communities that have faced systemic barriers to relief. The Biden transition team highlighted that clip from his Friday speech on Twitter, which led critics to point out that this was discrimination. Discrimination based on race and sex includes white men and remains unlawful under federal law. Also, President-elect Joe Biden says, reports CNSNews.com, promising that on his first day in office, he will issue an order. Listen to this. Do you have your kids in public schools? He will issue an order requiring all schools that receive federal funding to let transgenders play on the sports teams and use the bathrooms and locker rooms that accord with their gender identity. He's promising first day in office, he's going to issue an order for that to take place. Congressman Jim Jordan spoke on the House floor against the second effort to impeach President Trump, pointing out that 4 years ago, Democrats objected to the Electoral College votes of 2016, two of whom are now leading the impeachment effort of the president. In his opening remarks, the Democratic chair of the Rules Committee said the Republicans last week voted to overturn the results of the election. Guess who the first objector was? January 6, 2017, the first objector is now the Democratic chair of the Rules Committee, Jordan said, referring to James McGovern. And guess what state he objected to? Alabama. He said that's the very first state. He called out the hypocrisy of the Democrats in condemning Republicans who objected to the results of the 2020 election. They can object to Alabama in 2017, but tell us we can't object to Pennsylvania in 2021? Also, the lead impeachment manager, Representative Jamie Raskin of Maryland, fought the certification of electoral votes from Florida in 2017. Incidentally, Mitch McConnell reported this week that he is not going to call the Senate back into emergency session for an impeachment trial. They don't come back into session until January 19th. President Trump gave an address to the nation in a video released late Wednesday, calling on Americans to promote peace amid the reports of planned demonstrations to take place in the coming days. Here's the address that he gave.
My fellow Americans, I want to speak to you tonight about the troubling events of the past week. As I have said, the incursion of the U.S. Capitol struck at the very heart of our republic. It angered and appalled millions of Americans across the political spectrum. I want to be very clear. I unequivocally condemn the violence that we saw last week. Violence and vandalism have absolutely no place in our country and no place in our movement. Making America Great Again has always been about defending the rule of law, supporting the men and women of law enforcement, and upholding our nation's most sacred traditions and values. Mob violence goes against everything I believe in and everything our movement stands for. No true supporter of mine could ever endorse political violence. No true supporter of mine could ever disrespect law enforcement or our great American flag. No true supporter of mine could ever threaten or harass their fellow Americans. If you do any of these things, you are not supporting our movement, you are attacking it, and you are attacking our country. We cannot tolerate it. Tragically, over the course of the past year, made so difficult because of COVID-19, we have seen political violence spiral out of control. We have seen too many riots, too many mobs, too many acts of intimidation and destruction. It must stop. Whether you are on the right or on the left, a Democrat or a Republican, there is never a justification for violence. No excuses, no exceptions. America is a nation of laws. Those who engaged in the attacks last week will be brought to justice. Now I am asking everyone who has ever believed in our agenda to be thinking of ways to ease tensions, calm tempers, and help to promote peace in our country. There has been reporting that additional demonstrations are being planned in the coming days, both here in Washington and across the country. I have been briefed by the U.S. Secret Service on the potential threats. Every American deserves to have their voice heard in a respectful and peaceful way. That is your First Amendment right. But I cannot emphasize that there must be no violence, no law breaking, and no vandalism of any kind. Everyone must follow our laws and obey the instructions of law enforcement. I have directed federal agencies to use all necessary resources to maintain order. In Washington, D.C., we are bringing in thousands of National Guard members to secure the city and ensure that a transition can occur safely and without incident. Like all of you, I was shocked and deeply saddened by the calamity at the Capitol last week. I want to thank the hundreds of millions of incredible American citizens who have responded to this moment with calm, moderation, and grace. We will get through this challenge just like we always do. I also want to say a few words about the unprecedented assault on free speech we have seen in recent days. These are tense and difficult times. The efforts to censor, cancel, and blacklist our fellow citizens are wrong, and they are dangerous. What is needed now is for us to listen to one another, not to silence one another. All of us can choose by our actions to rise above the rancor and find common ground and shared purpose. We must focus on advancing the interests of the whole nation, delivering the miracle vaccines, defeating the pandemic, rebuilding the economy, protecting our national security, and upholding the rule of law. Today I am calling on all Americans to overcome the passions of the moment and join together as one American people. Let us choose to move forward united for the good of our families, our communities, and our country. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America.
You know, it's amazing to see what took place in the Capitol last week and what's taken place as far as violence and what's been perpetrated by individuals who are now shaming what took place in the Capitol. Now, I've got several things I want to share. First of all, from the Epoch Times, Black Lives Matter activist who was seen storming the U.S. Capitol January 6th was charged with being on restricted grounds, civil disorder, and violent entry and disorderly conduct, Department of Justice said yesterday. This is a new court filing. John Earl Sullivan told FBI agents that he was at the Capitol when the breach happened. He said he entered through a window that had been broken out. So BLM activists who stormed the Capitol charged as well. And here is the media wanting to jump on Congressman Louie Gohmert of Texas for a statement that he made on the floor. They said he is calling for more uprisings following last week's Capitol Hill riot. But here is his quote. And folks, it was not him that was advocating this. He was quoting Nancy Pelosi from an earlier statement that had been made, or I believe it was a tweet she had sent out. Here's the quote. I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be. Or sadly, the domestic enemies of our voting system and honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with their allies in Congress. We were called enemies of the state. Those were all quotes from our speaker, Nancy Pelosi. Now, on our side, we didn't take those to be impeachable because we didn't believe she was surely meant that, Gohmert said. But by the Democrats taking this action, you're telling me, no, when we say those, we actually mean to incite violence? That's what this action is saying, referring to the impeachment charges. So he's quoting Nancy Pelosi. The media didn't realize at first that they were quoting her and blamed him for calling for more uprisings to take place. Unbelievable. And, folks, we're going to take a break here, but when we come back, I'm just going to outline for you, as has been documented by the Federalists multiple times, where the Democratic Party, individuals here, urging violence against Trump and against his supporters. We'll come to those episodes here right after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does the camel store its water in its hump?
No, Chris, the camel does not store water in its hump, but it uses that hump to store fat from which it draws energy when it goes for long stretches without food or water. Actually, there are many specific design characteristics about a camel. It has extra long eyelashes to protect its eyes from wind in the desert. It has the ability to close up its nostrils to protect its lungs, and wide pads on its feet, which make walking on sand easier. Its thick coat of hair protects it from extreme temperatures. It has lots of physiological abilities which are moderated when it has to go without water. The camel has played a very important role in human history. In many ways, it's an obnoxious creature, but it's a marvel of God's design. He created all land animals on day 6 of creation week, back in Genesis.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
It's a news roundup day here in Crosstalk. Keep in mind, at the rally, President Trump has said to be peaceful, told the crowd to be peaceful, and somehow he incited the mobs. A piece in The Federalist by Jordan Davidson says that while Democratic politicians and the corporate media blame President Trump for the mob riot at the Capitol, saying his rhetoric incited violence, many of those same lawmakers and bureaucrats have for years called for violence and physical action against those who believe differently than they do. 2018, Democratic Representative Ted Lieu of California said on MSNBC that if Trump fired Special Counsel Robert Mueller, there'd be widespread civil unrest and people would take to the streets. The director of the National Intelligence, James Clapper, agreed if Trump fired Mueller, it would be set off a firestorm, that not only on the Hill, but also in the streets. That same year, Cory Booker, senator, urged people to answer a call to action to protest at the Capitol. Quote, please get up in the face of some congresspeople, he said at the conference. Hillary Clinton said civility was only an option if the Democrats controlled the legislative branch. You can't be civil, she said, with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for and what you care for. Eric Holder, talking to a group of liberal activists to fight back. And Michelle Obama always said, when they go low, we go high. Holder said, no, when they go low, we kick them. 2019, you have Congressman Castro said the Democrats would fight Trump and challenge him in every way we can in the Congress, in the courts, and in the streets and protest. Then after claiming God is on our side, we have Congresswoman Maxine Waters of California urging activists to physically confront the Trump administration in public places, saying you get out and create a crowd. You push back on them. You tell them they are not welcome anymore or anywhere. She continued her narrative in an interview with MSNBC, telling people to be more forceful, more confrontational, more prepared to push back on this administration. Even Nancy Pelosi saying when you're in the arena, you're ready, you have to be ready to take a punch, and you have to be ready to throw a punch for the children. Chuck Schumer calling for D.C. rioters to be placed on a no-fly list. Yes, indeed. No, he's not calling for those that caused the burnings and the mayhem in Minneapolis or Portland or Seattle or Chicago. But for that which happened to D.C., they need to be put on the no-fly list.
Any of those who are inside the Capitol should not be able to fly and should be placed on the no-fly list. We are calling on the authorities, FBI, TSA, Department of Homeland Security, to put them on the no-fly list immediately. Amidst the continued threat of future violence,
that's
online.
Senator Chuck Schumer. Let's see, here from Western Journal. Democrats are drafting a bill that could erase Trump's legacy as the headline. Democratic Representative Linda Sanchez of California pursuing legislation that would erase the president's legacy after he leaves office, saying, quote, I'm working on a bill that would mean that nothing, not even a bench, no airport, no highway, nor school, nothing ever bear the name of this traitor, Sanchez said in an interview. Democratic Texas Representative Castro tweeted out, in addition to supporting the impeachment and removal of Donald Trump, I'm also preparing legislation that would prohibit any federal building or property from being named after President Donald J. Trump. Epoch Times reporting President-elect Joe Biden, January 8th, promised to defeat the National Rifle Association while he's in office and to end our epidemic of gun violence. New York Post, president of the New York State Bar Association announced that it has opened a probe into whether to remove President Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani as a member of the bar over incendiary remarks that he made before the Capitol siege and his efforts to cast doubt on the 2020 election. Because of his efforts to cast doubt on the election. Folks, we could go quote after quote after quote after quote for those who doubted the 2016 election. Just because he said that there's been widespread voter fraud and challenged the results of the Georgia U.S. Senate runoff. Got to pull his law license, shut him down, gag him. WND.com, GoDaddy kicks the biggest gun forum off the internet without explanation. Biden's agenda means he should be impeached for violating our constitutional rights and inciting violence. Joe Biden once promised that fellow Democratic presidential hopeful Beto O'Rourke, who famously threatened to send cops out to confiscate certain weapons, would be his point person on gun control if elected. It seems that agenda has been launched even before the inauguration. The Federalist reports AR15.com, the largest gun forum, has been shut down by the web hosting company GoDaddy. Epic Times reporting that a Texas woman who bragged about ballot harvesting has been arrested now for fraud. Raquel Rodriguez, filmed during an undercover project by Project Veritas, a nonprofit journalism watchdog group, she said on video footage released last year that she would deliver at least 5,000 votes countywide for $55,000 in cash and would hire her entire team. She acknowledged that what she was discussing could land her some prison time. Well, based on that footage, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has opened an investigation. That probe led to her arrest January 13th. From townhall.com, Terry Jeffrey writing that Biden will introduce a constitutional amendment to entirely eliminate private dollars from our federal elections. Biden believes it's long past time to end the influence of private dollars in our federal elections. As president, he said he will fight for a constitutional amendment that will require candidates for federal office to solely fund their campaigns with public dollars, that's your tax dollars, and prevent outside spending from distorting the election process. Also on Town Hall, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia announced this week Wednesday, that she will file articles of impeachment against President-elect Joe Biden on January 21st, 2021, the day after Biden will be inaugurated as the 46th President of the United States, saying that she'll be filing the impeachment against Joe Biden for abuse of power, she tweeted out. The congresswoman told Newsmax that she was filing articles of impeachment against Biden because of the Biden family's overseas business activities with foreign entities, saying, quote, we have to make sure our leaders are held accountable. Taking a look here at the Epic Times, the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations scheduled a hearing for January 19th for the confirmation of Antony Blinken. That's Joe Biden's nominee for Secretary of State. The hearing will take place one day prior to the inauguration. Blinken served as the Democratic staff director for the committee from 2002 to 2008, and then served under the Obama administration as a deputy assistant to the president and national security advisor. Blinken is likely to face inquiries about his role with WestExec, that's an advisory firm that he founded, which recently deleted a portion of its website. What did they delete? Well, one of the deleted sentences says WestExec can advise on strategies to screen foreign research partners and donors, reduce risk associated with operations in China, and navigate those issues with the Defense Department. Isn't that interesting? Also from LifeNews.com, Joe Biden just gave another pick, a pro-abortion politician, to his list of cabinet appointees. Daily Caller reporting Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo, who signed a state law legalizing abortions for basically any reason up to birth, is Biden's choice to run the U.S. Department of Commerce. The U.S. Department of Commerce. By the way, a report states Rhode Island was ranked the worst state to start a business, according to a 2019 Forbes analyst. And now she is nominated to run the Department of Commerce. Abortion activists praise Samantha Power, the choice to lead the U.S. Agency for International Development, as a steadfast voice for human rights Wednesday. This was announced by the Biden transition team. She will assist Biden in restoring taxpayer funding to Planned Parenthood and other global abortion advocacy groups. Arizona's legislature is the first in the nation to produce a resolution to protect against the Democrat court packing. We've been told that court packing is something that is going to come up to mitigate the Trump administration's placing in of constitutionalists into office, originalists. And so the attitude is that if we pack the courts, we put create more liberal seats on the bench, then we'll be able to undo what these justices who are committed to the Constitution will do. Arizona now the first state to have a resolution in opposition to that. Also, reported here from Western Journal, Joe Biden will be asking Congress to help him create a path to citizenship for America's illegal immigrants. Kamala Harris said Tuesday. Harris said the bill would immediately hand out green cards to immigrants who are covered by the Temporary Protected Status or Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, according to Politico. The incoming administration wants to reduce the time it takes to become a citizen to 8 years. Right now it's 13 years process. And New American reporting that Google has pledged to back as yet unspecified immigration policies and legislations expected from the Biden administration. According to Reuters, the company also said it would pay for the application fees of about 500 young immigrants seeking employment under DACA. The statement positioning Google to support Biden administration immigration policies comes from a blog post by Kent Walker, Google Senior Vice President of Global Affairs. Google coming in and say, yeah, we're going to help fund this undoing of the immigration laws here in our land is what we've seen them under the Trump administration. Also, interesting report that came from Jihad Watch on the night of December 29th, and they're quoting the Center for Immigration Studies. On the night of December 29th, up to 400 mostly Cuban migrants forced their way past Mexican immigration and over payment turnstiles on the Paso del Norte Bridge, with a desire to force their way to downtown El Paso, Texas. U.S. Customs and Border Protection Mobile Field Office force officers met them in riot gear, used concrete blocks tipped by a wire to block the onslaught mid-bridge as many of the migrants were chanting, Biden, Biden, Biden. Many demanded that they be let in to live in the U.S. while they pursue asylum claims instead of waiting in Mexico as required under the policies of President Donald Trump. By the way, President Trump celebrating now the 450th mile of border wall as he went to the border to celebrate that. Let's get into some of the censorship issues. Parler. After the removal of social media platform Parler from the Google Play Store and the Apple Store and smartphones and subsequent removal by Amazon, the CEO, John Matzy, told Fox News, or Matz said that on Tucker Carlson that he feared for his safety with people threatening his life. He said it's a threat on his life. I can't go home. And he said this is not just, you know, about civil liberties. They can shut down a $500 million company overnight. Parler was shut down by the tech giants Apple, Google, and Amazon. The popularity of the app rocketed after Twitter banned the account of President Trump on its platform. Twitter has also been accused of purging numerous conservative accounts as right-wing commentators began tweeting that they were losing followers by the thousands. PragerU said they had lost to over 5,000 followers. Matt Walsh at the Daily Wire tweeted out that they lost about 5,000 followers. Parler is fighting back, though. LifeNews.com reporting that Monday they announced it will sue Amazon for antitrust violations after the site was scrubbed from the web overnight. Said the companies falsely claim Parler is responsible for the Capitol riots on January 6th. World leaders now from numerous nations are coming to defend the president's right to have access to social media. At present, the president's been banned from Twitter and Facebook, Pinterest, Snapchat, Reddit, Instagram. I believe there's others there as well, but you've got a number of leaders from nations like in Germany and the European Union and from France and Norway and Australia coming to say this is dangerous where this is heading. And we'll have some more to share after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Scripture provides many warnings regarding false prophets and false teachers in the world who present another gospel which is not another. Such are teachings from Jehovah's Witnesses and the Watchtower Society. They preach a different Jesus, a different salvation, a different gospel which does not align with the Scripture. Do you know what Jehovah's Witnesses believe and how to counter them from the Bible? In the book, Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses, author Ron Rhodes presents point-by-point lists of the favorite tactics and arguments used by the witnesses, along with effective biblical responses to each one. Presented are hundreds of good questions that you can ask to challenge the Jehovah's Witnesses' confidence in the Watchtower Society. VCY is offering Reasoning from the Scriptures with Jehovah's Witnesses for a donation of $19 or more. It is available by calling 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. I've got some more stories I'd like to share with you here today, and Lord willing, have a chance to take some phone calls a little bit later in the program. You know, with all this censoring on Twitter of what is taking place, the day after permanently banning Donald Trump for, quote, inciting violence, guess what Twitter did allow? They did allow to trend the words, hang Mike Pence. Isn't that interesting? Reported from LifeNews.com, an abortionist notorious for posting inflammatory comments on Twitter has now accused a pro-life leader, Lila Rose, of being a domestic terrorist last week. In her short tweet, Rose shared a fundamental belief of the pro-life movement, an abortion is wrong because it is a violent destruction of an innocent human being's life. A unique individual human being begins at conception, an undeniable scientific fact, and an abortion ends that human being's life. People outraged, saying this is a terrorist attack. Folks, abortion is violent. That's what Twilight says. Abortion is violent. And accusing her of liking her to a being a terrorist for saying abortion is violent. By the way, it's been reported Epic Times. This was on the 14th, so this is a couple days ago here now, that the social media giant Facebook and Twitter collectively have seen $51.2 billion in combined market value wiped out, people dumping their stock in these companies. Also, it's amazing what's going on. Todd Starnes writes of a Tennessee high school principal. He's been put on administrative leave. What did he do? He told his students they should be alarmed by the recent crackdown on free speech on social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter. This is Barton Thorne. He's a principal of Cordova High School. He told students during the morning announcements that they needed to be aware of the censorship happening on social media, saying, quote, I'm not going to tell you what to think. I just want to help you think, he told the students on a video that was posted on YouTube. This isn't about Trump. This is about speech. Well, evidently, this is a no-no at the Shelby County Schools because the principal at Cordova High School has been placed on paid administrative leave pending the outcome of the review of the comments that were made, says spokeswoman Jerrica Phillips, as she told television station WREG. Punished for warning kids about censorship that's happening on Twitter and Facebook. Even the ACLU is now warning of the unchecked power after Facebook and Twitter has suspended the president. In the state of Florida, State Representative Randy Fine sent a letter to Governor DeSantis demanding that the state divest from tech giants Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, Apple, and Alphabet, Google. Representative Nunes also calling for racketeering investigation of the big tech companies following the Parler ban. It's a story that's appearing right now at the Epic Times. Now, Twitter is crying boo-hoo. Twitter is complaining it is being censored in a foreign election. After they have permanently banned President Trump, WND.com reports, and other prominent conservatives, Twitter is condemning the blocking of social media and messaging apps by Uganda during the African nation's election, prompting many Twitter users to point out the irony. Ahead of the Uganda election, we're hearing reports that Internet service providers are being ordered to block social media and messaging apps, said a tweet from the account of Twitter's global policy team. We strongly condemn Internet shutdowns. They are hugely harmful, violate basic human rights and the principles of the hashtag open Internet, Twitter said. Access to information and freedom of expression, including the public conversation on Twitter, is never more important than during democratic processes, particularly elections, said the Twitter public policy account. Isn't that amazing? How two-faced can you get? They shut down. How many times do they shut down the president and now block the account? But now crying out when Uganda has shut them down? By the way, the Newsmax app, Newsmax reported Tuesday of this week that their app has been downloaded more than 4 million times since Election Day. Newsmax. PGA is getting into it as well, the Professional Golfers Association. So they will not host their 2022 championship at Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster. The president of the PGA, Jim Richardson, saying called it detrimental for the association's brand to have the championship take place at Trump Bedminster during a video posted on the group's website. Richardson said it would also risk the PGA's ability to deliver our many programs and sustain the longevity of the mission. Even Forbes magazine editors threatening any company that would hire President Trump's White House press secretaries. Interesting story coming from the Epoch Times on NASA. Senior NASA scientist pleaded guilty January 13th, lying about his ties to a Chinese-backed program designed to harvest talents from the West and transfer intellectual property to China, the Justice Department announced. Been the chief scientist for exploration technology at NASA's Ames Research Center in California's Silicon Valley since 2006. Mayapan, 66 years old, charged with one count of making false statements and could face a maximum five-year prison sentence, $250,000 fine if convicted. Court hearing coming up on June the 16th. Xi Jinping signs an order, number one, to focus on war preparedness and refers to the U.S. as an enemy, reports the Middle East Media Research Institute. Chinese Communist Party leader Xi Jinping signed Central Military Commission Order number one to implement Jinping's thinking on strengthening the military, focus on war preparedness, make better use of advanced technologies and training and weapon systems, and improve joint training and operations among the People's Liberation Army's military branches. One of his greatest concerns is preventing the independence of Taiwan and ensuring that the U.S. support for Taiwan be militarily challenged by constant People's Liberation Army readiness. It is worth noting that in the mobilization order for training on January 2nd, Jinping stressed that the PLA should keep a close eye on the powerful enemy, the U.S., focus on actual combat training, and maintain a high state of alert to ensure that it is ready to assemble at the first call and is capable of fighting and winning. Iran holding missile drill in the Gulf of Oman amid tensions. Iran's Navy began a short-range missile drill in the Gulf of Oman on Wednesday, inaugurated its largest military vessel, state TV reported. From Jihad Watch, at a ceremony unveiling a new underground missile city, Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps Commander Hussein Salami issued a threat saying that the missiles have a range of hundreds of kilometers. Their accuracy is complete. The general said that these missiles have great destructive power, can bypass the enemy's electronic warfare systems, adding that these systems are ready to be launched if the devils, the arrogant, and our enemies decide to attack Iran. Let me just share some things here on the COVID. Microsoft, this is WND.com, came out on the 14th. Microsoft helping to create a COVID-19 vaccination passport. Microsoft, part of a coalition of technology and health organizations working on the development of a digital COVID-19 vaccination passport that could be used by businesses and countries to enforce mandatory inoculation. Announced Thursday, the Vaccination Credential Initiative aims to enable people to demonstrate their health status to safely return to work, to travel, to school, to life, while protecting their data privacy. That's the Financial Times reporting that. They could develop a digital certificate that would be stored on a smartphone in a digital wallet or a physical QR code. LifeSiteNews.com, New Jersey governor wipes out a gym's bank account for remaining open in defiance of lockdown. The gym owner said, "We will not stand down. We will make sure that no governor or no government official will ever wield these powers ever again." This is the owner of a New Jersey gym, Belmar, New Jersey, fought to keep his business open during COVID lockdowns. And overnight, the gym's bank account was 100% drained of its funds by the state government. The Atlas Gym co-owner, Ian Smith, said, "As of this morning, without warning and without permission, in the middle of litigation, Governor Murphy took it upon himself to empty our bank account entirely to the tune of $165,000. There's a new lockdown in Ontario threatening fines and jail for leaving home, LifeSiteNews.com reports. Ontario government has declared a second state of emergency, issuing a stay-at-home order for the province beginning January 14th to last 28 days. The order allows people to leave their home only for essential purposes, going to the grocery store, pharmacy, health care services, or exercising or essential work. Newsmax is reporting that HSBC, it's a bank in Great Britain, threatening to close the accounts of customers who refuse to wear masks in their branches. WND.com, every public school student must be inoculated for the coronavirus before returning to class once a vaccine is available, says the superintendent of the Los Angeles Unified School District. Comparing it to required vaccinations for measles and mumps, Austin Buettner said that he hopes all students will be inoculated by January 2022, the Los Angeles Times reports. During a pre-recorded briefing, he assured skeptical parents that there's an option for a child to stay online learning and therefore not have to go back to campus. The Pfizer vaccine, given emergency authorization by the FDA in December, is for people 16 and older. Testing on children as young as 12 began in October, will take several more months to complete. Studies, however, have shown that children rarely transmit the coronavirus, and their survival rate, according to the CDC, is 99.997%. I wonder how many school districts will be following suit. LifeSiteNews.com reporting a very healthy 56-year-old obstetrician died 16 days after receiving the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. According to his widow, Dr. Gregory Michael, who practiced at Mount Sinai Medical Center, was in good physical shape, active, had no pre-existing conditions prior to receiving the vaccine December 18th. 3 days later, he noticed some severe broken blood vessels on his feet and his hands, which prompted him to seek immediate medical attention. He was diagnosed with ITP, under the condition the immune system mistakes platelets for foreign objects and instructs the spleen to destroy them, and thus, too, their function of helping the blood clot in prevention of bleeding. Though remaining in the hospital for ongoing attention, he died suddenly January 3rd from a hemorrhage, a stroke caused by the lack of platelets. In my mind, his death was 100% linked to the vaccine. There's no other explanation, his wife said. Also, from the vaccine reaction, 4 people died days after the COVID-19 vaccinations in Portugal, Switzerland, and Norway. 41-year-old woman died in Portugal 2 days after receiving the first dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine for COVID-19. Sonia Acevedo, who worked as a surgical assistant at the Portuguese Institute of Oncology, reported to have been in perfect health prior to the vaccination. I didn't notice anything different in my mother. She was fine. She just said the area where she had been vaccinated hurt, said the daughter. Then there was a 90-year-old woman on December 29th in Switzerland, less than a week after being the first person in the country to be given the Pfizer vaccine. According to the news reports, the woman, a nursing home resident, vaccinated December 24th, 2 days later, reported having abdominal pain, other conditions. Subsequently, her blood pressure dropped and her pulse spiked. And also 2 nursing home residents in Norway died just days after being vaccinated. A 27-year-old personal support worker suffered severe allergic reaction, including fainting, seizures, and hospitalization when she received the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine, reports LifeSiteNews.com. Deborah Tilley, mother of 2 girls, had looked forward to receiving the vaccine. I wasn't scared. I was excited. I was like, I'm going to be one of the first healthcare workers in the city to get the vaccine. As is routine, she filled out the consent forms, noticed the nurse who was looking over her file had a hesitation look. I do have a severe allergy to bumblebees, she said. And following the shot, she expected to have just wait for 15 minutes. However, within a minute, something doesn't feel right, she said, in my body. And I remember just passing out, leaning over to the right. She woke up in the hospital. She was told she had suffered seizures and needed CPR. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY, our number 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. January 6th, 2021. Will that be remembered as America's Reichstag moment? Remember when Hitler burned his own building and then tried to blame it on his enemies? Apparently, there is increasing evidence, including video, of just that occurring. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, anarchist, invading the U.S. Capitol and doing the damage. Maybe a few Trump people got caught up in it, but somebody clearly opened the doors. I've been to the U.S. Capitol many times. Lived there in the D.C. area for 8 years. I used to go there when there were no metal detectors and anyone could walk in. I've been there years after. Everything is locked down. Somebody had to open those doors. Somebody had to remove the police. And you've seen the video of the police removing the barricades and letting them in. Folks, I think this was a staged event to now blame conservatives, Christians, constitutionalists as being domestic terrorists. America better wake up and not buy the propaganda.
Well, it looks like I've got about another 20 minutes of stories, but I've run out of time. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. I've gone through a ton of stories here today, but I'd like to also just have you make brief comments here today on the program. And that's what we're opening the lines for. If you have a brief comment to make on these or current event issues, 800-733-9829. Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless you, and God bless all you saints out there. Thank you for taking my call. What you were talking about, those Corvallis shots, I'm telling people, and overseas, they have hundreds of people that have died from that shot. We don't get it on our news broadcast here, but it's a secret. But the thing is, just what you read, I tell people, that vaccine is made up with monkey blood, which has AIDS in it, and also with tissues of unborn babies. God wouldn't order nothing like that. When God made man and woman, when he created us, he gave us a immune system in us that can control everything. Put your trust in God, saints, and watch over your kids. And it's a very good time to witness for people. We not only witness for them, but live it. God bless you all, and God bless everybody at the studio there.
Thank you, Courtney. Thank you for the call. And we understand this Pfizer vaccine used the aborted cell line in their testing, not in the actual vaccine itself, the Pfizer and the Moderna, but were used in the testing phase. Don in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm commenting on the article about hanging Mike Pence. Mike Pence is a born-again Christian, and he acts like it. And this is terrible. This is wickedness, whoever said that. And further up, Jim,
I was just putting out the double standard there, saying that President Trump's remarks incited violence, but yet they allow that to go forth. I mean, that's a double standard.
Right. And lastly, today's my spiritual birthday, Jim.
Oh, that's wonderful.
41 years, Winter Park, Florida. Joe Duke led me to Christ, and the Lord gave me a song that day. You want to hear it?
Well, I don't have time for you to sing it today, Don, because we've limited on time and many callers, but I praise the Lord for the spiritual birthday for you. That's exciting. Andrew in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. I heard your comments a minute ago about the gym over there in New Jersey and them draining their bank account.
Yeah.
And my question is this: how long are we as a people going to allow that to go on, and how robust of a reaction would it take to just send a clear message? We're not taking it.
Mm-hmm.
It's overreach beyond all imagination.
Yeah, it is. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. John in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Yes, Jim, good morning.
Good afternoon.
You opened up and said that God is in control,
yes.
And yet I look at Strong's Exhaustive Concordance and doesn't even mention the word control. What do you mean? Because, I mean, how do you explain Stalin or the Trail of Tears or Saturday Night mm-hmm. Live?
What I mean, John, is that God is sovereign, and certainly we see the wickedness of man is great. God told us in his word that men's hearts, the wickedness is great, and we saw the destruction that happened at the time of Noah, and he's warned us in his words, as it was in the time of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And God has allowed wickedness to happen, and some ask, why is God so patient while all of this is happening in our world today? And the answer is found in 2 Peter, John, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's in his mercy that he allows, that he has not destroyed the world even to this point, but his plan, the things that he has before ordained, indeed will come to pass, John. Thanks for the call. Brad, you're next. Wes Alice.
Hey, Brother Jim. I just wanted to say that I know things look bad in this country. The babies are in charge again, but it's a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
They think they've won, but they've already lost. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus, God the Son, defeated their father, the devil. He defeated death as well. And, yeah, it's bad, but remain faithful, do good, pray, and batten down the hatches.
Thank you, Brad. Let's go to David in Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yes, Jim, thank you for taking my call. On the one hand, I'm a born-again Christian, and I know that ultimately Jesus is Lord of all.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, with it seeming that the wheels are just coming plumb off of everything that's moral and right, what do you think, Jim, of the possibility of states succeeding the Union, say, for instance, the 14 states that were ignored by the Supreme Court?
Well, I don't really see that is going to be happening. I think you're going to hear some rattling going on in the legislative chambers for that to take place. I'm just not seeing that at this point, is that states are going to be successful in succeeding from the nation. We've heard that in administrations in the past. But I just don't see that. We've even seen that those who have promised to break up California into multiple states. I just don't really see that coming to pass here anytime soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Rex in Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yes, I was just kind of wondering, when did our national capital turn from a place of democracy to a temple? And also kind of something I'm weighing out in my own life is in Jeremiah 7, the first 28 verses, Jeremiah was told not to pray for some people, but yet, as a follower of Jesus, we're to love our enemies and feed our enemies. So I'm kind of balancing that out.
Indeed, we are to love our enemies. There's nothing. Yes, indeed, we are to, and to feed them. That is certainly true, Rex.
Yeah, and I was just wondering, you know, because in Jeremiah, he was told not to pray for certain people these kind of situations. So, like I said, I'm just kind of weighing that out in my own life.
Sure, and there was a time in which they shook the dust off their feet as well. Have to take it all into context, and the 20-some verses you mentioned just will not be able to delve into that in the last minute here that we have. Dan in Waukesha, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. I used to go to your VCY rallies as a kid, and this is the times remind me of the movies that used to play with the military and the people coming after you.
Yeah, the Thief in the Night series. Yeah. I mean, it very much plays out like that film series, and what an eye-opener. I wish I had more time. I am out of time. Thank you, Dan, for the call, and to others as well. Friends, it's certainly interesting times in which we live. Indeed, God's in control. His plan is going to come together, but he's not willing any should perish. All should come to repentance. Trust Christ as your Savior.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.